Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Bank holiday weekend, 3 days to tackle those small little jobs around the house that maybe you want to try and cut back and save a little bit of money, and you're thinking, these are jobs I can do myself. Whatever your questions and queries, send them in for the Home Squad this afternoon. It's 087 1400 106 is the number. Jenny Sheehan, former winner of Home of the Year and of course Workers College on Instagram, is with me in studio today, as is interior designer Natasha Rocca Devine. Good afternoon to you both. You're very welcome. Jenny, what are the handy jobs, I suppose, people can try and attempt over the next 3 days?
Well, I tell you what I'm doing next, and I'm going to reseal my bath. And I just think this is a really not simple, as in it's quite labour intensive, but it's easy. Like, it's not a difficult thing to do. If you just get a couple of little tools, it's not expensive, so you don't need a big massive investment, and it makes such an unbelievable difference. Not even just visually, like if you've got a little bit of, you know, peeling silicone or whatever, it might just be like a cleanup job. But if there's a crack or a gap or something, you could be looking at a very expensive leak down the line. So that could save you. I just saved you millions, is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm here to do. Do you have to take off the old silicone?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you have to take off the old silicone. That's the hardest bit. You can buy like a little tool. It's a little V-shaped kind of tool, and it sticks underneath and you scrape it off. But you have to be quite meticulous on that one, because if you don't and you leave on a little bit, the new silicone doesn't stick properly. So that is the hardest part.
Yeah. So you're going to just get the bits that you need to do it, which
I'm doing the whole thing. Oh, the bits I need in terms of tools. So all you need really is your little silicone remover tool, a couple of euro, not expensive. Then you're going to need a caulking gun, silicone gun, something like Tech7. You get them in the, like, go in, always I say go into a hardware shop, because they're just so chatty and sound. They know what they're talking about. Never come out with, you know, not learning something new in a hardware shop.
Yeah. Natasha, what's your advice for people who are maybe thinking, I would like to try and attempt some jobs over the bank holiday?
I think paint touch-ups. I think doing a whole paint job is tricky, but actually doing a couple of touch-ups can really, you know, even if it's skirtings or one room or, you know, the main room like your living or kitchen. I also think decluttering and donating is a big thing. I'm actually going to do that. Decluttering out, even room to room, and then donating to different charities, and then also you can style after. So there's an element of design in it, but it's a really good thing, I think, to do as a family or single or couples over a bank holiday, and then you can kind of organise or design the space after it's decluttered. It's hard to design or style when it's all kind of cluttered.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, would you recommend, you know, if you have a kind of a vision for how you want it to look, do you plan that in advance of clearing?
Yeah, I think Pinterest boards are amazing, or Instagram nowadays, or even just, I'm old school, I love cutting it out of magazines and stuff like that. But having a vision, and then that's the incentive when you've hit 8 hours in and you're sweating and you're about to get divorced or a breakup or whatever, you're panicked. I think it's really good to have a vision at the end of it. But I think clearing out first is always, even furniture, when I'm staging properties, I actually say less is more. Just take the furniture out or shuffle it around and see, you know, map it out even on a piece of paper.
Okay.
Because it's hard to see when everything's all together, you know.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number if you have questions for Jenny and Natasha today. This listener says, there's paint splatters all over my windows. Do you know how I can get them off without having to scrape the glass?
You probably will have to scrape the glass, but I would buy, there's a specialist tool you can buy. Again, we're talking a few euro, and it's actually made with a really, really thin little blade. So you definitely won't scratch the glass. Okay. It's specifically made, like it's going to be absolutely fine. So if you buy some type of a solvent, a window cleaner, paint solvent, you can of course use vinegar and water, because you can use that for pretty much anything.
Vinegar and water.
Mix one to one vinegar and water, and spray that on, and then use your little window scraper, and it'll come right off. Don't be hard.
Yeah, simple as that.
Yeah.
I need to paint my skirting boards, but I find it so hard to get not to get paint on the floor.
So you definitely have to mark. We were discussing this earlier about paint. You have to use basically put down, like, literally, you don't have anything, sheets, every corner has to be covered. You just stick it down with masking tape. And, like, to be honest, I'd stick it 3 times, because it's so easily, you know, when you're under moving things around, sheets pull up. Also, what you're wearing, tie your hair up, like, make sure you're also covered, because, like, the amount of paint in your hair, I did the Salvage Squad, it came out like blue paint, green paint, like a gnome I came out. But, you know, just, it's really practical. It's like, just each area, like, stick it down really hard, and also make sure you're priming and sanding. We were talking about that as well. It's like the prep is the most important with painting. So, you know, sanding, painting, all of those things, and have things for dust, you know, to clean up. Be really, really prepared for when you're getting paint, and don't try and do the whole house in one weekend. Keep it simple.
Yeah, I've massively, I have totally underestimated how big the job was when I tried to do bedrooms over a bank holiday weekend before.
It's somewhere where you're like, oh, I'll save money. I won't get a painter, and painters are not that expensive.
No,
I don't think it's the easiest place to save money.
No, I've a whole new appreciation for them. I'd love to create an outdoor kitchen, nothing too fancy, but something that could incorporate some barbecue space and some food prep space. Are there any cheap ways to do it, or am I going to have to spend a fortune, Natasha?
Well, we were actually talking about that as well, about outdoor kitchens.
I love the idea of an outdoor kitchen.
Oh, I absolutely, my family are Irish Italians. I would eat outdoor every night of the week. I know Ireland is not working for that, but I worked in LA and obviously most people eat outside. So I think, you know, you can buy outdoor kitchens in IKEA, lots of different places.
IKEA Grill Scar. I was just looking it up there. They're fabulous.
What's it called?
Grill Scar. GRILLSKAR. But it's modular. So it's all like stainless steel, stuff that's made to sit outside. And the mate, like, if you're doing an outdoor kitchen, the expense will come if you want to plumb or bring electricity out to it. Exactly. If you are just doing a little barbecue, a little charcoal barbecue, and you don't necessarily need electricity or plumbing, then you're not looking at much money.
Yeah, I'm
at
looking
all.
At one here. You don't really need a sink incorporated into
no,
that.
No, you don't. You can add, I mean, this is where it gets extensive. And I think this is where, if you're building a garden from scratch, you know, that's where you add it in. It's easier from the beginning. So if anyone's doing a renovation, you can do that now. But adding to it, as Jenny said, is going to cost a lot more.
Yeah.
You can run into the bathroom or the kitchen and wash your hands, you'll be grand.
A friend of mine actually made, bought wood panels and made a really small, like, outdoor bar.
A little hot thing, and
it's cool, you know.
Because some wood will work, like cedar, for example, or like burnt larch. There's some woods that are really robust, even against the Irish climate, and they'll last. So, like, that's such a nice idea. If you even just had like one little, like, what do you need in a kitchen? A little working top, maybe, and then potentially some shelving that covers over that you can leave some handy, like, grill tools out there or something, and then you're done. A nice bucket.
An umbrella as well. You can get an umbrella. I also would say, like, I know you'd all agree, is try it before you invest in it. So, you know, build this modular, and then if you're using it nonstop, then, you know, invest in the plumbing and electricals. But, like, wait to see if you actually use it, because no point in spending all this money if you're not even going to use it.
This summer has us all spoiled.
I'm looking at the Grill Scar. This is the IKEA series that you're talking about. Are there other companies that kind of deal with the outdoor living range?
Well, I know Weber Barbecues and companies like that have, like, all options for barbecue. I mean, I think across the board, like, most, and B&Q, you know, you can go to, there's, as you said, Jenny, they're so helpful. B&Q, Woody's, you know, call into your local suppliers and see, because obviously we want to cover everyone across Ireland, but I think a lot of companies do that now. But I would definitely say, be realistic, you know, if you have a small family, don't invest in, you know, barbecue for 30
and
people.
And how often are you going to use it?
I would definitely look online as well, look at Adverts or Dundee or go down to somewhere like Kilkenny Architectural Salvage or something like that, because there's definitely somebody who thought that they were going to get loads of use out of their outdoor kitchen
and will
probably give it to you for free. And same thing, they're all pretty standard kitchen unit sizes, so you can probably just you could probably skip something.
Advice for you, Jenny, when you're tackling your bath. A listener has suggested that you should make sure the bath is full throughout the job,
and you should be in it ideally.
Jenny, this is going to go viral, Jenny, this weekend.
It is such a great point. I will not be live streaming this, but it is such a great point, and it's really, really good one for listeners. So if you're resealing your bath and there's no water in it and you're not in it, your bath is at a certain level. If you fill it, water is heavy. If you fill your bath full and you sit into it, you're sinking things down, you know, quite a bit. So if you're resealing your bath, obviously work away, scrape it off, do whatever you want. That's totally fine. You don't need to fill it. But then fill it, ideally get into it, and then go around and reseal the edges. And the same goes for your shower tray, for example. You don't have to fill it with water, but ideally be standing in it when you fill it, because otherwise it could pull down, the weight could pull down, and you get a little crack.
Figuring out furniture size for a room, what's too big or too small for the size of the bedroom, from Liz. Any advice, Natasha?
I would say measure what you have. I'm assuming this person has furniture in there, and then scale it up. And also, it's a little bit like clothes. You know, I know they say 5 foot. Sometimes things are a little bit bigger, like a headboard could come in, or the size of it when you add bedding on, or the size of a mattress. It says, say, 5 feet, but 5 feet in two different companies could be very different. So I would definitely make sure to scale it up and try and go into a showroom and measure it up yourself.
Should the furniture be too, you know, feel too big? Like, or should...
It's a personal choice.
I think so.
I always put it, so I just did a show home in Malahide and I chose larger beds over lockers because I prefer a bigger bed than a locker, yeah, personally.
Or just put in a little shelf. Like, if you don't have space,
exactly,
for a locker,
what, yeah, you put a bed anyway? Is more important to me. So yeah, I would go, like Jenny says, I prefer bigger furniture. You know, I think it's about comfort versus style. But then other people, for show homes and things, for, you know, for the public, you want the space to look bigger. So yeah, you're going to go smaller. But for the public, I think it depends on your lifestyle. If you're going to have
kids... If you need a lot of storage.
Yeah, or if you've got kids running around, you probably want maybe smaller so there's more space for them to run. It depends on the property, but I definitely would say go for what your lifestyle is, yeah, and who's in the space, okay, as well.
I've been painting my house for the last few days, but flies keep getting stuck in the walls.
Oh, no.
Any idea how to stop this or how to get them off the paint, Jenny?
You're going to have to... There is nothing for that. If there's one already stuck in the paint, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to scrape that off and start again and sand it down and go prime it again.
Sorry, not the whole nightmare. Not the whole thing.
At least that wall. Like, if the fly is in there, yeah, you're going to have to start again. Like, it's so difficult.
No, and like, flies, you're just getting the wee thing and pick it out.
Get a thing and pick it out, but you're going to have to scrape off the bit that the fly is in. You can't paint over it and leave it there and leave a bump there. If everything is totally dried and it's all dried in, you can try sanding
wallpaper
down that area.
I would just say, put wallpaper down. You know, put on the... No, yeah, but you're right, because you're going to notice.
You just can't let them in the first place, because they love... I don't know what it is. They do love paint. I even find there's like one little bit of dried paint on a lampshade that I have, and anytime a fly gets into my house, straight there is where they go.
Listener says, I've been painting my house for the last... Oh no, sorry. We don't use our chimney in the house, but I like the look of having the fire there. How do I block the chimney to stop the breeze coming down, or will I need to get a professional in to do that?
Yeah, so do get a professional in, but there is a temporary solution, and I will stress temporary, because like when it comes to chimneys, you never know if there's a tiny leak or ventilation or some type of an issue. Get a pro in to block it up. It's worth it. Or Natasha, you made the point earlier, you could be looking at birds or something like that in chimneys.
Yeah, we had
like,
birds that's in a really ours, so we were getting it blocked up. Yeah. We were going to keep it, and then we got, you know, there was loads of families of birds, which you don't want to kill. So, you know, you want a professional to help you get rid of the birds. And they can even, we have a vent in my daughter's room, and we found a bird's nest there last week, and it wasn't sealed properly. So obviously, and she's delighted. She wants the birds to move into her bedroom. But we're not so excited. But you want to protect the animals and stuff like that. So yeah, professionals. And then, as Jenny said,
then there is a temporary solution that you can do if you just want to get it done for the next few months or something. And there's these foil balloons. You can get them on Amazon or wherever. Yeah. And it's just a big bag of foil. And you shove it up the chimney with a stick. It comes with a stick. It comes with a long hose for you to breathe into it and fill it. So you stick it up your chimney, you puff it up, and then all the foil expands and just seals what's in there. So you need to be very sure you're not lighting any flames underneath that, but it will temporarily work to stop a breeze coming down your chimney.
Okay. Jenny Sheehan, former winner of Home of the Year, who you can find at work on Workers Cottage on Instagram, and Natasha Rocket Divine, interior designer. Thanks a million to you both for joining us Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.